welcome back into the Grow Room with Bob and Jay. Hi, I'm Bob Bubka. So proud to be here with Jay Randolph Jr. You might know him as FCL Golf Geek on Twitter. Well, Jay, what I thought we'd talk about this week in the Grow Room, why don't we speak to educate our listeners on some of the major changes probably in the game of golf over the last 20 years. And, you know, before we even do that, I think it would be great, Jay, to pay a little homage. Certainly something that didn't change. And, of course, I'm talking about the one and only Bernhard Langer.
No question about it. He is unbelievable. There is nobody like him. He has kept himself in tremendous condition. This drives him. I've mentioned before, he's a man of faith and believes that he's doing this and for a purpose, and he's a unique individual, and 64 years old to do it, to beat my man Dougie Fresh Barron. Great stuff at the Dominion Energy Classic.
Yeah, there's nobody like Doug Barron, but I can remember 10 years ago, Jay, I was with Bernhard Langer, and I said, how much weight change, Bernhard, for you over the last 10 years? He said, 5 pounds, but it's all muscle.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that people, I hope they understand that to be in the condition that he is in at 64 and perform the way he is performing. I love my man, the 3-time U.S. Open champion, Hale Irwin. And he had, at the time, I think the greatest Champions Tour career. But to me, this is another nail in Hale's coffin that Bernhard, the Red Baron, is the guy.
Yeah, he's absolutely incredible. He's won the Masters a couple of times. Won 9 times since turning 60.
Bob, you're mentioning the Charles Schwab Cup, and he's got a giant lead. Well, I shouldn't say giant, a big lead over Jim Furyk. And he's been the marathon man, 37 events in the 2021 Charles Schwab Cup rolled together because of the COVID situation. And Jim Furyk, who is second, has only logged 24 events. So not only is he amazing as it relates to what he can do. And you mentioned the 2 Masters. You and I both know if he could have putted for a couple of years, that number could have been 4 or 5.
Absolutely, my man Jay. And we'll wrap it up with this, that Langer has won the Charles Schwab Cup 5 times. No one else has won more than 2. Well, speaking of changes, Jay, the USGA and RNA just rolled out the new changes to the amateur status for a simplified approach. I mean, we could talk about a lot of things, but I think we should just skip right down to, you know, the amateurs being able now to accept, I guess, a limit of $1,000 to play in a competition. I think that's only fair.
I don't think there's any question about it. And the travel thing continues as well, being able to get money for the opportunity for certain travel expense. It really helps those guys. I mean, these places they're playing, as you know, at a high level are big time tracks. And usually there's a fairly good stipend at the hotel wherever they're staying and dinner and all. Yeah, I've never, you know, I mean, if in this day and age, to be honest with you, if it's less than $5,000 to me, it's like, who cares? And I know that, you know, I'll be honest, we run a Calcutta down here and guy in Sullivan where I'm at, and we, we ask the better players if they want to sign a waiver so that there is no problem with the USGA. So, and we probably have 5 or 6 people that do that. So, my feeling is if it's less than five dimes, let them do whatever they want. But, you know, the USGA has, a lot of people didn't think this day was coming. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I want to clarify one thing I said. I mentioned that they could receive $1,000 prize money. That's not accurate, as quite often I am not. But it means that they can receive a sponsorship to play in a competition, but not to exceed $1,000.
Or also, Bob, one other thing that they can get is it used to be $750. Now at $1,000, they can play in a tournament and get a gift certificate for $1,000 in pro shop credit. You know, they just can't, nobody's going to slip them 10 C notes.
Well, I know one thing also that as an amateur, if you give a lesson and charge for it, you're no longer an amateur. So, Jay, I was going to ask you for a lesson to help my game, but I got to keep you as an amateur, my man. I got to keep you as an amateur. All right, let's move on to the pro game, Jay.
Well, now, wait. Well, let me stop you. I got to stop you.
Go ahead.
I think that's a little bit over the top. I mean, you know, I don't think they follow it to a technicality. I think it'd be a case in point where a guy was a really good amateur player and competitive amateur, and all of a sudden all he's doing to fund himself is giving lessons. But, you know, I mean, I wonder a little bit about that one. And then when they say, but, oh, you can be a coach for a school, yeah, that's okay. But, I mean, it's just – That's, again, the amateur status situation. And the other side of it is, Bob, and you know this, I know this, and so does our producer Janice, because of her success as an amateur player. It really only deals with about, 4,000 people.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And speaking of our producer, executive producer, who does a marvelous job, as you alluded to, Jen itself. She put down some changes that she kind of felt have taken place in the professional game. I'm going to throw all of those out and go to the biggest single change that I think has come upon and blossomed and is continuing to blossom on the professional circuit. And that is the marriage of professional golf and gambling.
Well, you know, I think away from the on-course stuff, you may be right, Bob. Certainly the attitude, if you will, of the PGA Tour, I think, has dramatically changed as it relates to the gambling situation. I mean, you and I know it was a rarity. I mean, but when you go over the pond to a British Open and you've got a sports book down the street, you get a little taste of what it's like. And then as DraftKings got involved in the different fantasies games that started giving an outlet for money, and then the gambling became prominent, you know, and the gambling sites became prominent, and then they added golf. And there's no doubt, off course, there's no bigger change, I think, than that. On course, I think she makes some excellent points. The Korn Ferry Tour and what it has really become. You know, for a while there, it was for guys that were, it almost seemed like we're in that 40 to 45 category that were joining these young kids coming out of college because it was their last chance to get back onto the tour and this and that. Now it's a world-class tour. I mean, I would argue some weeks that when there's five tours going, you know, it might be the second best some weeks, and that's no offense to any other tours, but it's the quality of play. And she makes a tremendous point with the fact that now, you know, everybody's got a guru. Everybody's got a swing guy. Everybody's got a nutrition guy. Everybody's got a stretch guy. I mean, it's an entourage, if you will. And you know, Craig Stadler didn't have that.
No, I can't tell you how many nutrition coaches I asked to help me, and they said, Bob, with what you eat, there's not a coach alive that could help you. All right, let's move on to tournaments left on the official schedule. Jay, this week, the Butterfield Bermuda Championship.
Yeah, I'm fifth on the alternate list to get in. I mean, it's rough, and my son was laughing at me. He said, "You didn't do a DraftKings team for this tournament, did you?" And I said, "Yeah, I did." He goes, "Well, you might want to see somebody because it's rough." I mean, it's Brian Gay is the defending champion. He got a huge win last year that was kind of a life changer for him. I mean, most guys not making the trek to Bermuda. One of the players I think a lot of people are looking at, and I think he was the highest price on DraftKings, is Matt Fitzpatrick. What was weird about looking at DraftKings, it was Patrick Reed. He was like the eighth or ninth choice. And, you know, I think you could make the argument he's the best player in the field. It's just, I found it interesting. It was almost like somebody knew Reed was just going down there to go down there, and that was it. But, you know, it's another golf event. It's FedEx Cup points. And, you know, you put those points in the column, and they help you in a big way down the line.
Other tournaments still to be played. The Mayakoba, the Houston Open, the RSM Classic all remain on the schedule. Also, the Hero World Challenge, QB Shootout. That's a team format, and that rounds out the year. Hard to believe. Another year coming to a close. Jay, you and I are chugging along, but, you know, it's a little slower from start to finish now than it used to be. But pretty soon, it'll be the Century Tournament of Champions held in January at Maui, one of the favorite places of the Grill Room.
Without question, one of the favorite places of anybody that's been lucky enough to be on those grounds. Still a lot of golf to be played. And as Bob mentioned, it won't be long before we turn our attention to Maui and then down the road to Augusta for the first major of 2022.
Don't forget, if you'd like to drop us a line or give us your thoughts or opinion on the show, we'd love to hear from you. I'm STL Golf Geek on Twitter, while Bob, the voice of golf, Bob Bubka, GOG. Check us out on Twitter.